Assalamu alaikum everyone. In collaboration with the Mizzi Wahid Podcast, we have just launched our new series, Mizzi Wahid Podcast and Mendaki School Ready Campaign. Throughout this campaign, we'll be covering broad themes of parenting to give you the best tips and advice on how to instill values and hone essential skills for your child's development. If your child is entering primary school next year, this is especially the right place for you to be. So we are going to be releasing a series of podcasts starting with leisure learning through the holidays. With the start of the school holidays, what are some of the beneficial activities you can do with your child? So tune in to the Mizzi Wahid Podcast to dive into the concept of executive functioning skill, EFS, that we'll be sharing in the episode. Check it out over at Spotify, and thank you, Mendaki School Ready Campaign. And I hope you'll enjoy it. Assalamu alaikum and hi, Mizzi Wahid Podcast listeners. Welcome back. Today's episode is brought to you by Yayasan Mendaki. Yayasan Mendaki is a pioneer self-help group for the development of the Singapore Malay Muslim community. What they do is that they assist students and individuals of the Malay Muslim community with educational programs and schemes, as well as to encourage the concept of lifelong learning. For more information, or if you wish to seek assistance, you may visit mendaki.org.sg. Okay, so it's the month of June, and first and foremost, I wish everybody a happy school holiday period. In 2022, I think this is a much-awaited break for everyone, not just for the kids, but also for the parents. This has been a time that we have been looking forward to, especially because the pandemic has set us back for a couple of years now, because we were not allowed to travel, and even a lot of outdoor activities and indoor activities were restricted because of the COVID-19 outbreak. So I think this is something that we all deserve. I hope you guys have something interesting planned for yourself, for the family, for the kids. Okay? I'm looking forward to it. So, you know, whenever the school holiday period came about, I remembered as a student, I always, you know, was pretty excited for it. Number one, because I didn't have to go to school. But second of all, it's because I know it's a time that I can really take a break and enjoy and do whatever I wanted, whether it was to play, to meet with my cousins, to hang out with my friends, and to go on holiday with my family. Knowing also that I could break away from the usual routine where it's get up early in the morning, you know, take a shower, put on a uniform, pack my bags, go to school. You know, that same old routine every single day, coming back from school and then going for tuition or finishing my homework and so on. So when I think of my school holiday periods in the past, one of the more memorable school holiday periods that I enjoyed as a child was when my parents brought me to Jakarta, and we went for Umrah as well. And also a trip to Cameron Highlands was quite memorable back then. So those were some moments that I really cherished because of the experiences that I gained, you know, in that journey. They were very memorable. They were unique. And they were all first-time visits to those places. I remember when I was around probably primary three, when I went to Umrah for the very first time. Everything was new, obviously. That was probably the longest flight I've ever been on. And getting to see how Mecca and Medina were like in the early 90s was really something, because those were the days when, you know, I mean, if you go now, you probably don't even recognize the place, right? If let's say the first time and the last time was the 90s, and now you're going again, you would surely find it very, very different. But I guess it was more of the experience of going with my parents. I was the only child back then, so I really had all of the attention, and you know, a lot of the events that took place there really still stick to my mind, and I still see them very vividly when I was going to some of the shops to buy some stuff. And I understood a bit of Arabic. I remember it as a primary school madrasa going student, when the shopkeeper and the sellers were speaking a bit of Arabic and Malay and English. You know, there were funny moments and memorable moments. So, you know, I think when you plan a trip for your children, you want to, you don't want to just do it for the sake of it. You don't want to just do it so that you fulfill a particular quota of traveling that you enjoy with the kids during the childhood. But I'm sure you want to make the trips meaningful. You want to make the trips memorable. And so this is a great time for us to explore those opportunities properly. Okay. So it's school holiday, as I said, and so parents need to plan. But I guess the first reaction to parents is that, okay, this is a relief. Now, you know, we don't have to rush every morning. We don't have to check on their homeworks necessarily. Maybe some of them have one or two and a few projects to finish off. Maybe some of your kids are still affected by the results. Maybe it's not exactly what they were hoping for. So we want to make sure that this is a time that they get to recharge, relax, and so they can reset everything and start fresh again when school reopens. I realize that this school holiday period is not just something for the kids, but also for the parents, you know, for you to bond again with your children. And time is very precious. I've got four kids and I know that time flies, and suddenly my eldest is already 11 years old in primary five. My youngest is in K1 kindergarten. So time passes very, very quickly. And as I say in Malay, masa itu emas, or time is gold. So planning our time together with our children is essential. For some, they might feel, oh, Stas, but I see my child every day and they're doing fine, it seems. So why do I still have to plan time together with them during the school holidays? Well, to a certain extent, I do agree with you. But you know what? The time that we spend during the normal school days is very different. It's not as, you know, it's not as immersive, because it's just routines and we're just doing the things that we know we have to do and we're expected to do. We meet each other after school and after work, and we ask each other the same questions. There's nothing more to that, right? We may have had some weekends spent together, but a lot of parents today also admit that weekends are time for enrichment and so, you know, and tuition classes and so on. So how is that really quality time? Maybe it's not. So this is really your chance to try to bond in a more meaningful way with your child. Okay, so we may have been there physically, but we may not be necessarily there or present mentally and emotionally. So let us make sure that the time allocated for our children is of quality, inshallah. So to make our time with them more fun and educational, we can try out many activities that can really help them with their mental development. For instance, we can take them to the Gardens by the Bay, right? Have you been there before? I think my wife has brought the kids before, and I feel guilty. I've not been there with them yet due to work. But, you know, that's a place where it's quite interesting. There are many things to explore, and it's different from what the kids usually get to see and feel, experience and touch, right? So an example of what you can try to do is, you know, it could be the botanical gardens. It could be, you know, it could even be the zoo, right? So you go there and you look at all the information about the plants, the flowers, the animals, the characteristics, you know, and so on, the qualities of those plants and animals. So for example, if you look at a plant and you could get them to research about it later on, or you can explain to them about it, you know, what does it say? Maybe one of the plants is used as a remedy, or some of them can be used for consumption, you know, or it can be turned into a drink, like a tea, for example. Then after the trip, we can ask them what their favorite flower or plant or animal is. And if they are able to remember not just the names, but also why, it goes to show that they have actually been able to retain some of the information that they learned. So this makes the trips and the journeys that you plan for them to be something that is of quality, clearly, and something meaningful. This helps them to also develop the ability to exercise their working memory. Okay, so working memory is really the ability to keep information in their mind and then use it in the future in some way that is helpful or beneficial for them. Another example is you can start the day by having breakfast, and for some families, it might be a norm to have milk and cereal. And then on one day where there's no milk left, unfortunately, in the fridge, what do? Do you get mad without having the milk on the side? Do you go to a cafe and eat there instead? Or do you have something else for breakfast? You know, having the ability to shift your cognitive abilities allows you to think about what are the other options that you have as an alternative to what is usually there, but it's now missing or absent or unavailable. Meaning when an original plan is altered, how do you deal with the unexpected changes? Okay, so one of my kids is very, very structured. His name is Hussein. So he finds it difficult to accept when something is out of the norm, out of the ordinary, unusual, different. He loves routine, you know. So, you know, four children, everybody has a different pet peeve. And his pet peeve is when things are not following the routine. So when something is unavailable, he finds it difficult. So we need to teach him sometimes and remind him, okay, so you don't have this today. So what else can we try to eat? You know, for example, he loves fried chicken. So no fried chicken now. What can you try to eat? Right? He wants noodles, but no noodles today. What can you try instead as an alternative? It's not the end of the world. You know, we can always find other ways. So it challenges him to try to find solutions, and it's good training for the mind. Okay. Another simple thing that you can train your kids, and this was probably something that we could have done during the Hari Raya period when we went visiting to people's houses. And sometimes if you ring the doorbell and no one opens the door, you'll infer that no one is at home, right? It doesn't make sense to continually keep on knocking on the door or pressing on the doorbell more than 10 times. It doesn't make sense. In fact, I think it's part of etiquette to only do it maybe 3 times, and then if there's no reply and you move on, okay? So being able to understand a simple concept like this is something we can train our children to ask them, okay, so if there's nobody opening the door and nobody responding to the doorbell, what does this mean? Okay, it may sound nonsensical to ask such a simple question that to you sounds so illogical, but we need to train our children with their cognitive abilities. We need to develop the ability to think logically as well. So when, for example, going back to the scenario earlier, when nobody's opening the door, then what do you do? Well, you look for other ways to get in touch with them. For example, like calling the person to see whether they are there or whether they're nearby, they're coming back soon. So this is about being able to adapt to the situation and come up with solutions to solve the present problem. So parents, you know, these are some things, you know, I've given some examples and scenarios, but you can always come up with your own, right? I'm sure you are creative enough to come up with unique situations where the child can then train their abilities to think logically and to come up with creative solutions and think of alternatives. Like, it's not the end, right? You can always find other ways and other means. So you can, you know, develop multiple abilities. So the one I just spoke about was more about training their mental flexibility to adapt to changes, because mental flexibility is really the ability to think about something in more than one way. So that, you know, our children don't feel so rigid, you know, in certain situations, whether in school or in the future when they become an adult in a professional setting. It is said that a lot of young professionals don't know how to think in such manner because they were never trained. Okay, so a lot of managers and employers find it frustrating. Why can't they understand a simple thing, a simple concept? Why can't they do something very easy? Well, it's because they were never exposed to these situations. Yes, it sounds, you know, hard to understand, but it is true. Some kids are just never given the chance to learn in that manner. Okay, so as the holiday marks the end also of the examination period, as I mentioned, children are going to receive their results. You know, some of your kids are going to be happy with it. Some of them are going to feel a bit indifferent. They don't really care. And some of them are going to be sad and affected, right? So if a child received a disappointing score on a test, parents should guide their child on how to maintain focus and learn to accept the constructive feedback. You know, all the results is basically just another form of feedback. And we do this while helping them to stay level-headed and learning from whatever mistakes that they have made. It is not going to help if it's just about reprimanding them and scolding them and pointing out their mistakes and highlighting it again and again and again. Parents should avoid demoralizing their children by not showing, you know, extreme disappointment in them. Rather, we should be more positive and encourage them to show support towards them. Acknowledge that they have done their best, especially if they have. But if you feel like they have not, then let them know too. Like, for example, you could say to them like, okay, and I've done this with my daughter once. You know, she was happy with like maybe most of her results, and one of them, she wasn't really. And I just told her, okay, imagine if you had spent an extra hour on this particular subject. Do you think you would have gotten at least 2 or 3 marks extra, right? Just getting her to think about it. It's not about going into the past to make her feel bad, because you can't really change the past. So I make that point to say, okay, so the next time around, what if you increased the amount of time you spent studying this instead of, you know, playing with your phone, instead of watching TV, instead of, you know, just sleeping, you know, too much, you know. So we can always give suggestions based on what you know about your child, because every child is different, every child is unique, every child's strength and weakness is also very, very different. So you know your child better, make sure you give the right kind of examples, make sure you give them the right kind of motivations, and again, don't demoralize them too much. Okay, so with this, children can hopefully make more appropriate and beneficial decisions for themselves, and they know how to respond to stressful situations in ways that can yield a positive outcome in the future. Another example, if you say that you're not serving ice cream until after dinner, your child may cry. They may scream in the hopes that you will give in. And of course, this happens with my youngest. She is the queen, as they say. She's 4 years old. Parents can make a promise that they can get the ice cream if they are patient. For example, in my household, we have this concept called Ice Cream Saturdays, and we always only have ice cream on Saturday. So everybody understands you can scream, you can yell, you can shout on other days. You know that there's only one day when we can have it, and we train them to be patient. Okay, so this will make them feel reassured, and it helps them to have a bit more self-control in dealing with outcomes that don't really side with their wants. So self-control is the ability to ignore distractions and resist temptations, because you know that there's something else that you can get if you are patient, if you wait, if you exercise some self-restraint. So, brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, my dear listeners, these three concepts that I just mentioned, which is working memory, mental flexibility, and self-control, are considered under a concept called EFS, which stands for Executive Functioning Skills. Executive Functioning Skills is a set of mental skills that enables us to plan, focus our attention, remember instructions, and juggle multiple tasks successfully. I know it might be too wordy, but let's imagine this were, you know, an air traffic control system at a busy airport, and they need to manage the arrival and the departures of many, many aircrafts on multiple runways. So the same concept applies to how our brain works. where it needs this EFS skill to set, it needs this EFS skill to filter distractions, to prioritize different tasks, to set and achieve multiple goals, and to control our impulses whenever they come up. Or we can take another example, for example, driving, maybe a bit more relatable. In an event when something unexpected happens, like a road closure occurs, do you go on and decide to just be patient with the traffic jam? Or do you then find an alternative route? Do you wait for the road to open up? What's your plan? What's your decision? You know, you have to think, right? Executive function is responsible for many, many skills, which includes the ability to pay attention better or to stay focused on tasks that you started in order to complete them. Understanding different points of view when you are in a, you know, at a workplace, having a meeting and so on. And also learning how to regulate your emotions during the highs and lows of a work week. So you might ask why EFS is important, don't you? When children have opportunities to develop their executive functions and self-regulatory skills, the benefit actually goes to the society, to the community in the long run. These skills usually develop faster in early childhood and into the teen years, but continue to develop further into the mid-20s. It is important to start enhancing these skills from a young age, as it is the best time for them to pick up these skills to grow. By practicing it repeatedly, children will develop these skills and subconsciously implement them into their everyday activity and learning. As they say in Malay, belentur buluh biarlah dari rebungnya, which means it is important to teach and mold your child while they can still be molded and shaped at a very young age. Therefore, these skills are crucial for your child's early learning and development. They also encourage positive behavior and allow us to make healthy choices for ourselves and our families. So, as parents, we are our child's first teacher, and it is upon us to facilitate and nurture the development of a child's mental skills. Okay? So, again, we've covered quite a bit of examples that, you know, that I gave earlier, that I shared earlier. But there are other things that we can try to do too. Maybe one of your kids loves to read, or they are very into words. They love learning a new word. Or maybe you're trying to guide them to improve or enhance the ability speaking and writing in another language, right? So these are all ways too that you can train their muscle memory, okay? Communicating with them in an expressive manner and using a variety of words, right? This is because we will help them to memorize and expand their vocabulary and improve on their grammar and so on, especially when the time comes when they need to use it in school, during exams, during oral exams, and so on. To me, I speak three languages, and I know that we recall the best when we use the language. You know, language is retained only by usage. I think when I say usage, it's also inclusive of actual interaction, not just reading, because it's very passive. You need to write, and you need to speak, and you need to talk to someone, right? These things are the best way forward, okay? Help them to form simple sentences as a start, and then we see where they can go from there. So these functions are highly interrelated, and the successful application of EFS requires them to operate in coordination with each other. Okay, so in this particular episode, what we are going to focus on a bit more will be on working memory. But before we go to that, I would like to remind that our children aren't born with these skills. Instead, they are born with the ability and the potential to develop them. If children weren't brought up in a conducive and supportive environment, their developmental skills can be seriously delayed or impaired. So how do you understand better the concept of a working memory? Well, a working memory governs our ability to retain and to manipulate distinct pieces of information Well, think of working memory as a temporary sticky note on our brain. It holds new information in place so the brain can work with it briefly and connect it with other information. And as I said, when you use it, you retain it better. Working memory isn't just for short-term use. It also helps the brain organize new information for long-term storage. When people have trouble with working memory, the brain may mix up the information stored, or it may not store it for the long term at all. Hence, one of society's most important responsibilities is to provide the support that children need to build these extra skills at home. In early care and in education programs in kindergartens and Montessoris and so on, as well as in other settings that they experience regularly. So parents also must remember that they play a big part in building the skills at home. How do we develop a child's working memory? Well, we can exercise the developing skills through activities that foster creative play, especially during the school holidays, right? Social connections, go on play dates, and maybe if they're young, or maybe if they're slightly older, go out with your friends, their cousins. Social connections are important, even with your grandparents, right? Teach them how to cope with stress. You know, play games with them where they have to think quickly, or where they have to build something and where they fix something, right? Involve vigorous exercise physically and mentally, and over time, provide opportunities for directing their own actions with decreasing adult supervision. We want them to learn how to be more independent with their own knowledge, with their own experiences that they've gained through these activities, these games, travels that we go with them, and so on. Among other examples too, would be to encourage your child to teach you on something they recently learned to reinforce their understanding. I personally can vouch for this. I know that I remember things better when I teach them. If it's just something that I learned and I expect to remember them well, I don't think I will. You know, there are many studies that show that we tend to forget a big chunk of it, like 80%, within the first few hours or within the first day after learning something new. The better way to hold on to new information that you've just learned is to share or to teach. So one thing you can try to do is to ask your child what they learned, but then go an extra step further. Ask them to explain, what does that mean? What is that concept all about? What is that science lesson about, right? Ask them to explain to you. It's another form of teaching indirectly, right? You can also do it in the form of playing games with them, like playing card games, okay? It encourages them to anticipate things that are about to come, and this may help them to improve their memory skills too. Whenever they are reading something, and I used to do this as well as a student, my books were really messy because I had highlighters and I would underline words and I would circle certain words and I would draw dashes in between them and I would break them into smaller chunks. And I used to make it really, really messy, but in a good way, because I think it helped me to memorize those things and it was stored in my mind a lot longer, you know. So maybe you can try that out with them, you know, see whether that works. So, you know, my dear listeners, these strategies and more can help them with forming and retrieving long-term memories. It also helps with their working memory, which we've been talking about, which is what we use to hold and compare old and new experiences with. All right, so that's about it for today's episode. I hope you enjoyed listening to it. You know, I guess now I'll be busy planning for what I'm going to do with my kids. We just finished creating a daily timetable for all of them. Yes, it sounds very structured, but I think children do need structure while they are still young. While giving them some room for them to express themselves and do things freely and play with each other, those things are always going to be there, but there always needs to also be some form of structure. That's how I do it with my wife, and maybe you have your own way. Feel free to share and tag Mendaki and tag Nizza Wahid Podcast. We'd love to hear from you as well. So enjoy your holiday and do look forward to the rest of our episodes in this series with Mendaki. All right, so thank you so much for listening. Take care, and I'll see you soon. Bye-bye.